closer, closer than I've ever been. Closer, closer, closer than I've ever been. I just know we're getting closer, 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 closer. I just know we're getting closer, 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 closer than I ever can.
Yeah, I used to dream about showing the world what I dream about. To get a mic my whole life, I thought it'd be the mouth. I guess it's fitting how life threw me the curveball. Pops told me work till you make it, man, then work more. I guess I took that to heart, cause I've been working harder now than I did at the start. And I won't stop till I get to the top, till I can give all of my fam all the things that they want. But there ain't no doubt I continue to be the doubted. But that's just motivating, so where would I be without it? Cause the same people asking why you're doing it will ask you how you did it. So fuck the credit, stay committed to your vision. They can't see it, it's yours. The top floor looks far where you can get in the doors. But it's crazy what you can see with your eyes closed. That's why I stay in my grind mode. I know I'm getting closer,
closer, closer, closer than I ever been. Closer, closer, closer than I ever been. I just know we're getting closer, 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 closer. I just know we're getting closer, closer.
Hello, and how is everybody doing this evening? I am your host, Coach Terrence Wood, in the BYGP locker room, and I'm excited. I am pumped up for tonight's guest. This is somebody that we've wanted to have on our show for quite some time now. Obviously, this person is a coach, so he has a very busy schedule, and he is, for the most part, a Bay Area legend, you guys, as far as coaching. I grew up in the Bay Area, and definitely his Skyline High School teams were a formidable opponent. They were somebody that you knew would get after you, always had Division I level recruits. He's taking all of that success on to Laney College now, and has created a winner there, and has a lot of kids going to college from Laney College. So, you know, we wanted to have Coach John Beam on, not only because he's a great coach, but also because he really cares about his student athletes. And I think we already have Coach Beam on tonight. Can you hear me, Coach?
Yes, Terrence. Thank you very much for having me on.
Oh, we're excited to have you on. I know we got a little break in the season here, so we thank you for the time. And for those that don't know you personally, Coach, can you tell everybody where you're originally from?
I grew up in San Diego, California, home of the Kearney Comets, where I went to school, and then I got to play 2 years of junior college football at Mesa College, the Olympians, and then had a knee injury, and then started coaching in between taking a scholarship to New Mexico, Eastern New Mexico, but found out I love coaching. And I didn't want to go play football anymore because I knew that was limited. So I wanted to just start coaching and start my coaching career. So I coached 2 years in San Diego at Serra High School. And then I moved up here to Oakland and I coached 22 years at Skyline.
So you figured out fairly early what you wanted to do after football. What was it about coaching that just made you say, that's it, that's what I want to do?
You know, I think it's that I was lucky. I had, you know, my mom and dad in my life. My dad was, you know, always around and taking me to games and stuff. But or come to games, I should say. You know, he would always pick up my friends to take to practice because a lot of them didn't have fathers, right? So, he figured I could get to practice my own self, but he'd pick everybody else up. And in high school and college, you know, I was around some very, very good coaches. And even though I had parents at home, you know, there was still, especially in the 70s, you know, you're kind of struggling with what you want to do. And I always felt that these coaches were special and gave me direction where I wanted to be. You know what I mean? And so I thought, well, I would like to give back the same way that someone gave to me.
Wow, that's wonderful, Coach. And you spent 22 years at Skyline High School, and that's where I first found out about you. I was over across the bay at Reardon High School. But what was it that made you say Skyline was the place for you for so long?
Well, I think it was Skyline took a chance and hired me, you know, a young coach, you know, and made me the defensive coordinator my first year on varsity and just took a chance on me. And then it just kind of rolled after that, right? I got to work for Tony Fardella, who was a legendary coach in his time with a really successful record. It taught me a lot of things about coaching. I was teaching at the junior high at Havens Court and Frick down in East Oakland. And, you know, the Skyline at the time was a school up at the hill that everybody wanted to go to. So it was just a great opportunity. So I think more Skyline, you know, picked me than me picking Skyline. How about that?
No, that's well said, Coach. And I think it was a win-win for everybody involved. Now, what were some of, you mentioned you got the job really young. What were some of the challenges that you faced at Skyline early on that maybe you didn't expect?
Well, as a defensive coordinator, it was just, you know, just learning and trying to put all the pieces together, right? You know, you kind of learn, you know, as a player, as a D lineman, and so you're trying to put the front seven together with the back four, you know, trying to mirror it all together, just trying to learn that. And, you know, but the beauty of Skyline was, you know, that so many college coaches come by that you could ask a lot of questions, you know, like, and learn from them all the time, right? So you're constantly learning and asking questions. So that was pretty good. The other thing it was for me was when I became the head coach, you know, as a young head coach at 28, you think you know everything, right? And you find out really quick you don't know anything, you know. And it's not S's and O's, right? It's just like, oh, you got to order helmets. You got to order girdle pads, right? You know?
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. You got to make sure they're going to class. So all
yeah.
that, you know, all of a sudden, you know, there's a lot more involved, and you have to kind of start putting the pieces all together, right? And it can be humbling, you know. But in my third year as a defensive coordinator at Skyline, we played a great De La Salle team, an undefeated team, and actually beat them. And so we went 10-0 that year, right? So, you know, you start to build some accolades, but it still was a constant learning situation for me. And even now, today, I've been coaching 38 years. Every year is a new learning experience, right? New young men come into programs, and you're learning. They're teaching you things or challenging you things. And, you know, I think in football it changes, and you got to stay on top of it. So. It's a blessing to be able to constantly learn.
Now, Coach, you're currently coaching. You're the head coach of Laney Junior College in the East Bay in the Bay Area, for those that are listening that don't know. But you made Skyline into a Bay Area powerhouse in football, and you guys had a lot of recruiting success, a lot of young men that went off to big colleges. How did you get that program to the point where colleges wanted to come year after year to come get your kids?
Well, that's a great question. I think number one was our kids always played hard. Skyline kids played hard, right? They were tough, they were competitive, and they played hard. The other thing was they were always ready academically, you know, and they understood that, you know, no matter what you do on the field, if you don't do it in the classroom, you're not going anywhere. We were able to instill that on them. And so I think colleges, you know, kept coming because of those things. And then building relationships with coaches, right? You know, you treat coaches right. You know, you don't big time them. You let everybody come in. You know, you're there for them. If they want to meet you at 7 a.m., then you get there at 7 a.m. to meet them. And I think that's important. And so for me, I wanted to build my relationship not only like in the Pac-10, but I wanted to move back then the WAC conference and, you know, the Mountain West and then the Big Sky, even out to the Missouri Valley, you know, and constantly move and meet and go to clinics and meet new people, right? And then the other thing is when you're recruiting is be honest with coaches about a player. You know, you tell them all about their strengths, but they ask you about any weakness, and you explain the weaknesses. Because you don't want to be any surprises, right? You want to be honest, and so that you don't come back and, you know, they come back, well, you told us this, and this guy was really a bad guy. You know, he wasn't what you said, right? So you want to be honest about it. So I think those are the ways that we built it to be, you know, recruiting. I mean, we average 5 D1 guys a year.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's a factory under you, and it hasn't quite been the same. So, you know, obviously you had your hands all over that program. Now, talk to me a little bit about, because you've coached some amazing players. I mean, you talk about the Derek Gardners, the Marvell Smiths, the Von Bess, who was great for the Miami Dolphins for so long, Kevin Parker, LaCorey Collins. So, you know, you've coached and seen it all. What separated when you, because you're still coaching, so even now, what separates those good players and those great players? What makes a player go from good to great?
Boy, you know what? If I could say 100% this was it, I'd be a millionaire because I could sell that to the NFL and everybody, right? Because it would translate not only to sports, it would translate to the working place, correct, as well, right? But I think there's intangibles that are something inside that drive that we can't always measure, right? And it's also being willing to compete, right? Are you willing to compete? Are you willing to work? You know, are you willing to work when no one's there? How do you handle failure? Because failure is part of success in my mind, right? Because you're going to fall down sometimes, but are you willing to help? Are you able to get back up, right? You talk about Devon. You know, Devon has spent time, you know, he was all set to leave to go to college and then ran bump in the road and was incarcerated, you know, for 13 months. Well, that could have just crippled him, right? But he bounced back, and, you know, we talk about it all the time, he and I. That happened for a reason and made him the player that he is in college and also the player that he was to go to the NFL because, you know, he was supposed to be a high draft pick, second or third round draft pick, and yet he goes as a free agent. But because I think the bump in the road from high school before he went to Hawaii, being, you know, going to jail, you know, let him know that, hey, you know, just being a free agent, that's nothing compared to spending 13 months incarcerated. You know what I'm saying? So he was able to bounce back and fight through it and go get it. And I think those are things that you always look for. But I think it's hard to measure what allows that to happen, right?
Wow, that's a powerful story right there. And I know the players and parents listening appreciate you being so candid with us. Talk to me a little bit about relationships for the athletes, because we do have athletes listening tonight. How big is it for them to form relationships with colleges and make sure that they do the right things off the field?
Oh, you know, in this day and age, you know, if you're on social media, every college knows that, right? So if there's negative things on your social media, pictures or words or you know what I mean, they see it. And that can cross you right. We had a young man that was all set to go to Oregon, a big time, you know, when Oregon was rolling a couple years ago. They crossed him off the list for something he had on his social media from his freshman year in college. And, you know, and he's in, you know, junior college. He's at second year Laney when that all occurred, right? So, you know, that was a long time ago, and it still affected him from that social media. So it is a big deal, right? And I tell people all the time, you know, that, you know, you want to build a positive relationship that, you know, it's like your brand, who you are, is out there. So you want it to be a positive thing that's out there, you know, for people to see. And I think, you know, as a coach, that's ours. You know, we're teachers, right? We're teachers first. And that's our job to teach that. And, you know, so it's down the road because your next employer, right? This employer is your college coach giving you a scholarship, but after football, that next employer, right, is going to be looking as well. So I think positive image about who you are and how you carry yourself on social media is huge these days.
Great point right there, and hopefully you young players listening are picking up on what Coach Beam is saying. You've done some work with the NFL coach and the Raiders, and you've given back a lot to the community. Why is that so important to you to give back to your community?
Because, you know, one of the things when I was at Skyline and at Laney, I talked to guys all the time about it, you know, give back. Somebody gave to you so you can make it. You pay it back. You know, like, Coach, I want to get you this. I want to get that. Don't get me anything. I'm fine. What can you do back in your community? What can you bring back to Laney to help the next guy, Laney? Maybe it's just coming and talk to him, right, you know, about your experience. Maybe it's something more, right? but it's what's going out there, because we learn from our experiences. You know, you follow my steps, but I made these falls, so let me share that with you so you don't make those types of falls in your life. And so I always want to give back. The other thing is, I think, you know, football is one of the greatest team sports and one of the greatest sports. Obviously, I'm involved with it. So the NFL thought so as well. So when I was working with the NFL, they started this program called Junior Player Development, because a lot of our young people were coming in that had no high school, coming into high school without football experience, because maybe they were coming from a different country, right? And they're, you know, immigrating to this, to the U.S. So we wanted to expose people to football at an early age, right, and expose them the right way. And I think that was a good thing by the NFL. You know, hey, they've got all this money. Let's give it back to the community and show people how to do it right, you know, what this great game can give you, right? And all the things we do with the NFL besides, you know, teaching skills, football skills, we always tied in life skills, right? We always talked about teamwork and, you know, making the right decisions and, you know, being trustworthy, right? Someone dependable, accountability. Those things, tying those life skills and everything that we did were huge for us.
And you guys have definitely done that perfectly. You obviously, your kids go on and you see them giving back in the community as well, so you know it's, you're doing something right. Talk to our audience, Coach, about the junior college opportunity. Some of these young men are finishing up at high school. Maybe they don't have any college options, or maybe it's not the option they want. What type of kid goes to a junior college? What type of young man goes to a junior college? And do you think it's still a strong opportunity for these young men?
I think it's an unbelievable opportunity, right? I mean, I'm a product of the community college, right? But, you know, you might not get a scholarship out of high school because maybe you played at a small school, right? And you didn't get an opportunity to show your skills. Sometimes it's because you weren't ready academically, because maybe the 9th or 10th grade, you weren't academically ready. So you have a chance to come back and start the slate all over academically at Laney College, right? At Laney, we can help tutoring and those types of things to change, you know, to flip the script, right? New chapter in your life. Maybe you were good in school, but you didn't feel that. We had a young man, Reese Beckman, that came from us from Granada, and he was an offensive lineman in high school, but 220 pounds, right? So he comes to Laney, he puts on, you know, 40 pounds of muscle, now he's 2, and he gets a full scholarship. He was already ready academically, but his body hadn't matured yet. And so I think a place like Laney or any community college is a place for you to take that next step, right, in your growth, whether it's physical growth, growth on the football field, academic growth, or for some people it's just maturity. They're not ready to leave home yet, right? You're 18, 17. Some guys are graduating at 17 years of age. They're not ready to leave. The other thing is, I tell people, when you come to Laney, especially for the ones in the Bay Area, you know, you get a chance to be recruited by schools out here, but you're not getting recruited by the schools in the Midwest and back east or down south like Laney does. Because why would a Troy come out to California to try to recruit a high school kid? He's 18 years old. He's going to go all the way back to Troy, Alabama, right? He's going to be away from home. He's not going to be playing football because he's going to shirt. Kid gets homesick. And he wants to come home. But now, for a junior college player coming out of Laney, he's 2 years older. He's mature. He knows they bring him into play. They're not bringing him into shirt. And he's already played against college players, right? He's played against big kids, right, or faster kids. And he's able to step in and play right away. So the options to go to more schools are actually bigger by coming, you know, more opportunities, I should say, not bigger, but more opportunities out of a junior college.
Well, that was a great illustration right there, Coach, of the opportunity that JC football presents. Does a young player have to go to a junior college for 2 years, or can he go for just 1 year?
So if he's a high school qualifier, he can leave after one semester. We had a young man, Connor Peters, that came out of De La Salle, and he played one semester for us as a tight end. At De La Salle, he played like a DN and some tight end, but at our place, he was strictly a tight end. And, you know, after 1 year, one semester, he transferred to Boise and spent 3 years at Boise. And that's the other thing. Remember, in high school, most high school guys, the better players, are playing both ways. And so,
yep.
You know, when they come to our place, we're saying, hey, you're going to spend all your time on one position, one side of the ball, so you can really grow in that area, you know, learn all the nuances involved, learn the mental part of the game. I mean, you mentioned Derek Gardner. Derek Gardner played for me at Skyline, one of the most unbelievable young men I've ever been around. And, you know, he goes to Cal. He starts as a true freshman at Cal and goes through that. Then he goes from there to the Falcons. And then he plays in the World League and in the arena. But he's going around. Well, now he's coming back and sharing that to the next generation of defensive backs. I mean, you're learning from a guy that's been at the highest level. And, you know, how do you get that, right? You know, and this is his profession now, right? So he's working at it every day to get better, and like it's his full-time job, correct? And now he's sharing that with you. And at the same time, he's sharing his life experience with you. I mean, it's a win-win.
Wow, great, great feedback, Coach. And for those that are joining us, we are in the BYGP locker room. I'm your host, Coach Terrence Wood. We have been blessed with the time of Mr. John Beam. He's the head coach of Laney College. He was at Skyline High School for 22 years and has produced guys to major college, professional football, and the whole deal, but also gives back in the community, and that's why we wanted to have Coach on. Coach, we've got roughly about 10 more minutes with you, and we definitely appreciate the time. What has football taught you that has been big for your life? What have you brought from the game that you apply in life?
One, you know, accountability, right? And, you know, and then compete, right? And just, you know, keep working at it. Like, hard work does pay off. The other thing is, I think that football gives you is the ability or the opportunities to meet people from all walks of life. You know, I grew up in a middle-class area. I played football in a not-so-middle-class area. My friends I grew up were black. They were Samoan. They were Tongan. And we got to meet each other, the melting pot, right? When I look at the kids that we have at Laney right now, you know, they come from all walks of life, you know, kids that are, you know, single parents. Maybe they're foster kids, people that come from two parents that are really well off. And they all learn to meet, and they all learn to get along and find out, hey, there's not that many differences, right? An 18-year-old guy is still trying to be an 18-year-old guy, no matter what color their skin is or how much money their family has, right? They're here, they're working, they're trying to get a scholarship, they're trying to win a championship. So it's a similar thing. You find out there's more similarities than there are differences. We talk about, you know, all the time when you play games, right? You play. You said Reardon. I know we talked that at Skyline. We used to always play St. Francis, right? So you got an inner city school playing a pretty wealthy Catholic school, but we're still competing on the field. We're battling. We're seeing each other as just, you know, two groups of people working for the same goal and giving your heart out. At the end of the game, you shake hands, and you just met a new friend. That's what I think football brings. It's just an unbelievable situation, just meeting new people and finding out we all have so many similarities.
No, and you, I know that's what you preached to your players. I was fortunate enough to play with guys like Jay Sharlin Jones, LaCorey Collins in the Arena League, and some of the Skyline guys are some of the best teammates that you would ever have, you know, some of the Laney College guys. So you've done an amazing job of feeding into your players. So it's felt around the country, Coach. I can definitely speak on that.
Well, I appreciate it. You know, in the Laney guys are getting it, right? You know, they're battling to, you know, to overcome. You know, they're all the kids. You know, you get them. They're all from all over the Bay Area, East Bay, right? Everywhere Bart goes, and they all come here in one place, and they just work together. That's what I love.
Definitely. What are some of the areas or what are some of the techniques and ways that you guys go about recruiting for Laney College?
Well, you know, we go to a lot of high school games. You know, we have our camps at our school. We have passing tournaments. We just start to identify and watch young men. You know, We get on film. We have our alumni base that let us know about people. We read the paper, right? Just all over the place. You know, there's so much news out there. And then you start to, you know, you're spending 22 years in high school. I know a lot of high school coaches, right? Or guys that played for me or played against me now are high school coaches. So you learn that. And then we go out. And then we want to show them all that we can offer at Laney College for them, you know, the academic support, you know, the physical training that we can give, you know, the speed and conditioning, as well as, you know, the techniques and things of the football. So we want to share that with everybody everywhere we go. So it's an ongoing process. But again, every time you go out to a Friday night game, you meet new friends, right? You meet old friends, right? You reacquaint. And it's unbelievable to watch Friday night games, right? The competition, the pageantry, you know, it's what makes, you know, football great.
You hit the nail on the head right there, Coach. And a couple more questions for you before we let you go. And once again,
okay,
definitely appreciate your time. But I wanted you to illustrate, because you've had so many young men change their lives, really, with football. And you've helped them do that and helped their families. And I want you to illustrate for our audience, because we have mostly players and parents listening tonight, the value of a college opportunity. I know that a lot of these schools cost a lot of money. It may be out of reach for some of these parents. Can you just illustrate for these young men that are battling on the football field the value of a college opportunity?
You know, it is a blessing to be able to keep going. Like I tell people, so Marvell Smith, you mentioned Marvell. You know, Marvell played 11 years in the NFL. So when he got done playing, you're still 32 years old, 33 years old. It's
yep.
done. So it ends at some point. But I when he got drafted by the Steelers in the second round, every time we would talk, the first thing on my mouth, hey, did you finish your degree? Did you finish your degree? One day he calls me, guess what, Coach? I go, what, Marvell? I finished my degree. You know what I mean? Your education lasts forever. So if you can get a scholarship to continue playing the game you love, play and get your education paid for, take it no matter where it's at, right? If you're good enough to play in the NFL, they will find you, right? They will find you. That's what the NFL has money to go scout and find all these players. But at the end of the day, it still ends eventually, and your education will go on forever. And that's the key, you know, to get someone to pay for you to go to school. It's a great opportunity.
Well said right there, Coach. Well said. As far as coaches who you look to or admire or who you respect, whether it was somebody that you met personally, somebody that coached you, whether it was somebody that's still coaching now or maybe has gone on and passed on, who are three coaches that you really respect, Coach?
Well, I would think that, you know, Charlie Popa was my offensive line coach at Mesa College. And, you know, he told me that, you know what, you got a brain, get to class, take these classes here. Even though I go, well, Coach, they're hard. And he wouldn't let me say that it was hard. Do it. And then he's the one that turned me on to coaching, right? He got me my first high school varsity job as offensive line coach. So I would say Charlie Popa taught me so much about football, but more important about life, and gave me the first opportunity to coach. And that was in San Diego. Mike Williams, who was the first varsity coach I worked for, he was such an offensive mind, and he taught me so much. And then I had the opportunity to play for, you know, Mike Martz, probably one of the greatest offensive minds ever. And
yeah.
learning about offensive football, but even more importantly, about when I was thinking about being a Division I coach, and he told me that it's great to be a Division I coach, but he says, you do more community than I ever will as a Division I coach. You might want to stay at Skyline. And, of course, I stayed at Skyline, you know, and I think those are the things that he told me, you know, like, hey, I do want to make a difference in my community, you know, and I want to stay. And so, you know, leaving Skyline to Laney was just a bigger opportunity to work with even a bigger group of young men that are similar, right? And so it's been awesome.
I obviously, you know, our work with Before You Go Pro, and we work with the kids off the field, You recently had a chance to work with one of our kids, Kevin Soltis, but it's more about the mental game, the game in between the ears, which I know is the same for you too. I know how it feels for me to watch my kids go off and accomplish great things, but, you know, you mentioned Marvell and some of the other great players that you've coached. What does it feel like for you when you're sitting back on the couch on a Saturday or Sunday afternoon and you see one of your kids out there?
You know, it's unbelievable, right, when you watch them be successful on the field. But it's also just is, you know, exhilarating in essence to be invited to a graduation when they actually get to walk the stage with their diploma, right? And so I look at some of the things like when Marvell, I was with Marvell, brought myself and my two daughters out to the Super Bowl when he played and beat Seattle for the Super Bowl champs in Detroit. And we were on
the field
with them when the confetti was coming down. He got us on the field, the confetti's coming down. It was so unbelievable. But it was also as exciting for me when he invited me to his wedding, right? And I got to see him, you know, get married and then watch him be a father. You know what I mean? Or,
wow.
You know, those are the things. So it's not just, you know, like, and we talk about the Marvells, but, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, there's the other young men that you work with that have, like, we have a young man right now at Laney, Bryce Granderson. Bryce, you know, he was just an unbelievable leader for us, right? But he doesn't play every down, right? He doesn't do all these other things, but he's tutoring. He's the president of PPK, which is our honor society. You know, he's engaged. He preaches on Sunday. And you see that, and you go, wow, I'm a part of that too, you know? And so those are all the things, because these are people that were supposed to be failures in life by society, right? Society said these people are not going to be successful. And yet here they are being successful in a lot of different ways, you know, being a father, you know, being a husband, being a football player, right? Being a scholar. Those are all things that are successes that we need to constantly talk about.
Definitely, definitely. And last but not least, Coach, you've graced us with so much wisdom and knowledge so far, which I knew you would. But last but not least, you've coached so many players. You're currently coaching. What is your greatest hope for the young men that come across your path and that you have the chance to coach?
You know, my biggest thing is that when I coach them, give back. Come back and give something back, you know. Be a valuable member to society. Does that make sense? You know, help somebody else that to pay back that somebody helped you. You know, and I say that, and it's not just, you know, it's not just the football players I'm with, and I want to just kind of throw this in here. I just left our conference track meet and watch our women's track program just go crazy, right? So these young ladies are doing the same thing. You know what I mean? So it's not just guys. It's all of us, right? All the young people that are out there that I hope are listening and are out there that we can touch, give something back to that next generation. Be the role model for that next generation. You know, those are the things that I hope that I impart and I want to see give, you know, that my the people I'm around, I hope that they get from me, you know, give back.
Wow, Coach. Well, you have definitely shown with your own actions and deeds what you're talking about. So it's not just for those listening. I can tell decades and decades this man has given back, and it's no joke. It's not just talk because we're online right now. He definitely puts his actions where his mouth is. So, Coach, keep kicking butt, and we appreciate you coming on tonight. And thank you so much for having us. Oh, for those young men that may want to play junior college football at Laney College, what's the best way for them to reach out or get you guys' attention?
Just come on by, drop us a line, email us, you know, just come on by Laney anytime. We'd love to have you, and we'd love to just talk to you about anything. Just, you know, that's what we're here for, to give back to the community.
Gotcha. All right, Coach, you have a wonderful evening. Thank you so much for the time.
Thank you. I appreciate it. You keep up the good work as well.
All right. So, hey, there we have it. That was Coach John Beam. He is somebody that has done an amazing job, you guys, in the Bay Area coaching, both at the high school level and the junior college level. And like I said, he has gotten guys to major universities and also professional football. But he said he gets just as much joy seeing you guys graduate, seeing you guys become fathers, seeing you guys become firemen. Whatever it is, you guys, just do something positive. Give back to your community. That was something that he constantly talked about, was give back. You can change the world with one person at a time, and Coach Beam has definitely changed the world. So you guys, hopefully you got a lot out of tonight's show. If you guys didn't get to hear last week's show, you can actually – well, we took off last week because it was Easter vacation and spring break. But the week before that, we actually had a junior college coach on as well, Coach Jimmy Collins at San Francisco City College, another powerhouse. Produces, I think they've produced like 25 D1 kids within the last 2 or 3 years. So another powerhouse. You should check out that archive as well. Go to our website at www.beforeyougopro.com. On the homepage, top right-hand corner, you'll see our social networking links, and the little microphone is all of our archive shows. We've had coaches, players, business professionals, all on in the locker room, geared towards helping you with your journey. So hopefully this show helped you tonight. We also consult with kids, and we have a program, a mentoring program for our young athletes. We would love for you to check that out and possibly join. You can get that information at our website as well. So once again, www.beforeyougopro.com. You guys have a wonderful evening. I'm your host, Coach Terrence Wood, signing off for BYGP and the rest of the BYGP family. Have a good one.
Closer than I ever been. Closer, closer, closer than I ever been. I just know we're getting closer, 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 closer. I just know we're getting closer, 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 closer than I ever been.
Yeah, I used to dream about showing the world what I dream about. Get a mic my whole life, I thought it'd be the mouth. I guess it's fitting how life threw me the curveball. Pops told me work till you make it, man, then work more. I guess I took that to heart, cause I've been working harder now than I did at the start. And I won't stop till I get to the top, till I can give all of my fam all the things that they want. But there ain't no doubt I continue to be the doubted, but that's just motivating, so where would I be without it? Cause the same people asking why you're doing it will ask you how you did it. So fuck the credit, stay committed to your vision. They can't see it, it's yours. The top floor looks far where you can get in the doors. But it's crazy what you can see with your eyes closed. That's why I stay in my grind mode. I know I'm getting closer,
closer, closer, closer than I ever been. Closer, closer, closer than I ever been. I just know we're getting closer, 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 closer. I just know we're getting closer.
Been a chase, it's a gift and a curse. Was on my way up to the top and slipped into reverse. And the same thing I thought killed me brought out the real me. That's real, see. You gotta find what you love and let it kill you. Just gotta live with the will like Uncle Phil do. Cause on the real, everybody go through times when the sun don't shine. Don't know when that time will come, but it will come in time. Cause yo, I said it first, ain't no telling where I'm headed. So this is for the people that was with me when I said it. And when I said it, I meant it, I swear I won't forget it. Told my family and my friends that I'm forever indebted.
Closer, closer.